So Hare Krishna, dear devotees. My name is Kripamoya Das. Once I was standing outside Srila Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was inside the room. I was supposed to be, as they say, on guard, guarding Srila Prabhupada. And one thing I noticed, when a family was just leaving Srila Prabhupada, they reached halfway to the door, and the door came open. The servant opened the door. And Prabhupada said, come on, prasadam. He made sure that they took prasadam. So then the door closed, and Prabhupada's other secretary came in, and he was Prajumna, his Sanskrit editor, who later on would work on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, oh, you're guarding Srila Prabhupada? I said, yes. And I pulled myself up 2 or 3 inches taller. I was on guard, you see. And he said, oh, what is your name? He said, I said, Kripamoya. He said, I think you'll find your name is Kripamoya Das. He said, never forget the Das. Kripamoya is the name of Krishna. Das means servant. I said, yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. So that's what we're here to do today, to remind ourselves, and specifically the candidates, that Das is the most important part of your name. Unless, of course, you're a lady and your name is Dasi. So let us read this verse from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll do this quickly because our time is a little limited. And I know devotees love breakfast. English translation. Translated by Bhaktivinod Thakur into Bengali and then back to English. When a mortal being completely surrenders unto me by giving up all kinds of karma with a desire to attain my special favor, he attains immortality and becomes very dear to me. Omagyana timarandasya gyananjana shaloka chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. This verse that we chant, Omagyana, contains the word shalakaya. Shalaka is a little stick, like a matchstick. When the doctor, the vaidya, the Ayurvedic doctor, puts ointment in the eye for treating the eyes, he also puts a little stick, believe it or not, on the bottom of the eye, and then props open the eyelid because the patient will want to blink, because Ayurvedic medicine is not always banana flavored. It's not always sweet. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. So the eye will be kept open with this shalaka. The idea of initiation is not a one-time event, but it implies shalaka, that for the rest of life, this stick, the stick will be there. Where's my stick? So this is the stick I intend to keep your eye open. Now, Mark is a secondary school teacher, so he knows that they don't use the stick anymore, do they? Not even to point. It's all laser beams. But the idea is that the teacher keeps the teacher's eye open so that the medicine can do its work. And what is this medicine ultimately? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, that the eyes eventually come to see the form of the Lord. So this is a beautiful verse from the 11th canto, 36 years after Lord Krishna spoke to his beloved friend Arjuna. He spoke to another beloved friend and family member whose name was Uddhava. He had slightly more time. So it's also called the Krishna Gita, or the Uddhava Gita, the Gita that was spoken to Uddhava. And he gives him this verse because Uddhava has asked him to give his last instructions, because Krishna has revealed that he will be shortly leaving the world. So he gives this beautiful verse amongst 1,200 other beautiful verses. That when a mortal being completely surrenders to me, and then he defines what surrender is. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, give up all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. Here he's also describing the same thing. Giving up all kinds of karma. Karma means that any activity which is to develop your body and mind in this incarnation or in the next incarnation. There was a pivotal point in my life where I was already initiated. I was already initiated, but you know that time. Everybody should have it. A year or two after you get initiated, that's when you start wondering whether you should. But it's too late. And you realize that your independence, Mark, has been taken away. And now you're bound up to these rules and regulations. What to do? So I was sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada thinking, this is it, this is life. And the life that I saw extending out year after year after year till the end of my life was a life on a wet Tuesday morning in Bolton, trying to stop people to sell the books of His Divine Grace. So I thought, this is it, this is life, this is as far as it gets. So my expanded imagination could only take me as far as Bolton, in the rain, on a, did I say Monday or Tuesday? I said Tuesday, look, Monday was even worse. And so I was sitting in front of Prabhupada, and it was almost, you know that moment when Prabhupada looks around the room, and he looks and you think, he's speaking to you personally. So it was one of those moments. And he said, he was describing reincarnation. And he said, you've had many thousands of lives in the past. Many, many lives. He said, in the future, you can also have many, many lives. He said, but just this one life, just this one short life, just give this one life to Krishna. So when he said that, I thought, okay. So it's a very pivotal moment. So we have many lives. If you want, you can have many more. But in order to get many more, you'll have to perform karma. How do you perform karma? Is it a strange religious ritual? No, it's just something that you do by breathing. Every time you breathe, every time you walk, talk, you're just talking. You can say something. And if you have any scrap of lust, greed, anger, it'll come out in the form of speech. The Mahabharata says, whatever is on a man's mind comes out through his mouth. Whatever you have will come out. So thought, then comes speech, then comes action. And we all live in a world in which we have to interact with others. That's why we began this initiation today, by turning to others, because none of us go back to Godhead without others in our life. That's why Prabhupada, at the same time as he created this whole thing called initiation, he also created an international society for Krishna consciousness, which means by declaring that you need initiation, he also declared that you need other devotees to walk with you on your spiritual path. There's no such thing as a solitary bhakti yogi. You can't be a bhakti yogi living in a cave. Maybe in a previous yuga, but not in Kali Yuga. It's too difficult. So we have to learn how to associate with each other in such a way that guru comes through every single person that we speak to. Sometimes it is said, well, people like to have theological discussions about what is guru, and we could go on and on. But guru is simply a representative of a representative of a representative, a servant of a servant of a servant. And if I turn this way, I will see this painting. And under that painting, 44 years ago, I chanted my first round. Hooray! And I haven't come very far in this life. I've come about 6 or 7 feet. But so today we have some duties to do. And the duties are to explain to you that what is Veda? Veda means, what's your appetite for listening? Should we say 10 minutes? You're all right? I never know. Usually people are, when I'm sitting on a chair, people looking at me and thinking, can you hurry up and let's get this wedding going. I'm not used to everybody giving rapt attention where you could drop a pin. Any sampradaya, any school of yoga has something to teach about three tattvas called tattva-traya. Tattva-traya means three realities. Brahman, the absolute reality, the foundation of everything. Souls, those who observe. And then the world, that which is observed. And this tattva-traya, when you're confused about these three and the relationship between these three, that is called being in maya. And when you know the relationship between these three, that is being in spiritual consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is when you know that Brahman is not simply the ultimate spiritual platform, but that Sri Krishna, the player of the flute, is the ultimate foundation of both Brahman and Paramatma. This is how Lord Chaitanya's teachings begin to Sanatana Goswami. And this is how every teachings begin, the Tattva-traya. Jiva Goswami says, there is the sun, there is the rays of the sun, and then there is the reflection of a sun in a pot of water. So there is the sun, which is God, there is the rays of the sun, which is the soul, and then there is the reflection of the sun in a pot of water. It looks like the sun, but it's just a reflection, and that is the material world. It looks like the real thing, it looks like my home, but it's not. And at the moment when you understand this material world, along with this body, may not be my ultimate home, may not be my ultimate destination, that is when Krishna consciousness actually begins. And when you find someone to help you, then you're well on the way. So let's talk about Mahatma Gandhi, to give a controversial class. Mahatma Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, he's on the money in India. He said that if all the Vedas were to be lost, and only one verse on one piece of paper was to be found at some point in the future, he said, perhaps an invading army has completely destroyed Vedic civilization, completely destroyed all the Vedas. He said, if you find one verse on one piece of paper, he said, the whole Vedic culture could be reconstructed. What is that? That verse is Om Purnam Adha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishyate. This is the invocation from the Sri Ishopanishad. An Upanishad means to come and sit closer so that you can learn more. Isha means the supreme controller. So this is the invocation to that Upanishad. So if such discussions interest you to the point where you want to base your choices in life on such discussions, what should I do? Where should I go? How should I lead my life? If the answer to that is consult the Vedas, then this is called Shraddha. And from this point, Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha. Actually, Krishna explains to Uddhava what happens. He says, first of all, he said, because Uddhava asked the question, how do I find a guru? Everybody's question, isn't it, sometimes? How do I find a guru? So to find a guru means to find someone that can help you towards your goals. So first of all, understand what your goals are. But Krishna says, he says, in the beginning, a man's mind is his guru. Can I get that water that was in the cup, please? A man's mind is his guru. Because a man's mind will analyze the world and think, this is not the place for me. There's something more. How many of us, put your hand up, if you've ever thought, there must be something more to life than this? Every single one of you. Every single one of you. So the next stage, what happens? The guru comes along? No. Krishna explains. He said, when you're looking for God, he said, everything in the universe begins to speak to you, or it seems as if it speaks to you. So then Krishna tells the story of a young man who didn't have a guru, or just one guru, and the king asked him, he says, who is your guru? And he said, I have 24 gurus. And he proceeded to list them all. Sometimes in ISKCON we have people with 24 gurus. That's not necessarily a good thing. So if you don't get my meaning, you weren't there in the 80s. Let it drift over you. Hey, Deepak, let it drift over you. So he said, I have 24 gurus. And he named all the lessons that came from each guru. And then Krishna describes, when you find a person with all these lessons, who can teach you all these lessons, a sadhu who can help you, then you take shelter. Out of all the 28 qualities that Krishna describes, one is the most important, and that is that the sadhu himself, or should we say herself, has become dear to Krishna and serves Krishna. So this is a very unique thing, it's a very rare thing. What does it mean to surrender to Krishna? Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the threshold of the house of bhakti, when you're just getting to the doorstep and you're just going over the threshold, we have our candidates here today. Well, these two are initiated and this one isn't, which is very nice. So Prabhupada explains that there are six things. Anukulyasya sankalpa. You vow to do everything in your life that is favorable to becoming a better devotee than you are on Monday morning. Okay? What can make me a better devotee tomorrow? You vow to do things that are pleasing to Krishna. And just with this one vow, your life changes 180 degrees completely. Completely changes around. Because instead of you being the center of the universe, God becomes the center of the universe. And that's a very scary proposition. And sometimes people think, could I possibly lose myself in Krishna consciousness? I come to Krishna consciousness, I might lose my individuality. I might not be the same person. I might lose the best bits of myself that all my friends love and my family members love. What do I do? So there's a great fear. So we have to overcome that fear in order to reach the anukulyasya sankalpa stage. Next is pratikulyasya varajanam, or rejecting those things that are not pleasing to Krishna. So Krishna has described in this verse to Uddhava, he says, when you've given up karmas, those karmas that are not pleasing to me, and then you become immortal. Now that is a good trading proposition. That's a good trading proposition. This is a deal breaker. You know, perhaps we should tell this to Mr. Boris Johnson. You know, this is a deal breaker. You give up these karmas, you become immortal. Yes, the soul is already immortal, but we don't experience it. So Krishna says, not only do you become immortal, but you become very dear to me. This is a very good proposition. Then, Rishiksha Tisi Vishvasa. But what happens if I do surrender to you, Krishna, and something goes wrong in my life? Don't I need someone else to depend on? My friends and family, my job, my career, everything like this. Krishna says, no. Just don't give up your family, don't give up your friends, but prioritize them and make me the top of the pile. Make me the top of the pile. You see? Prabhupada went to Dai Nippon in Tokyo. That was printing the Krishna book. It was a printing company. And there's Prabhupada sitting around a conference table with the executives all in their suits and ties, all Japanese, of course. You could get the best deal in Japan at the time. And one of the executives came up to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had in his hands a stack of business cards. Okay. And Prabhupada said, what is your goal in life? And the young executive took his business card and he put it right on the top of everybody else's card. He said, that is my goal in life. So Prabhupada could see, he said, I could see for him that his career is very important. What is the goal of a devotee's life? We want to put Krishna at the top and be the intimate servant of Krishna. Krishna is our protector. Do not worry. There was a time in my life when that sense of being protected by Krishna was severely challenged. I had to surrender to Krishna all over again. But what will I do for money? Oh, money, money, money. such as so many bills to pay. What will I do if I surrender to Krishna? How will that affect my career? You see, I may be late to work, or I may, fitting in these rounds, it's difficult, you know. How will I ever get up in the morning early enough? If I get up, you know, surrender doesn't just mean putting some grains in a fire. Surrender means surrendering to the alarm clock. The alarm clock is Kala. The alarm clock is Krishna. Krishna comes to you in the form of the alarm clock. It's the alarm clock incarnation. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And it's that point where we choose between Krishna or Maya. We choose Krishna, we get up. We choose Maya, snooze. Snooze is another word for Maya. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. Please don't think I'm sitting on this big, big cushion because I'm perfect. I also have a snooze button. But we are struggling, and it means that I have to face that struggle because Krishna comes to me in the form of an alarm clock. So we accept Goptritve Varanam. We accept him as the sustainer and the maintainer of our lives. Finally, Atma Nikshepa. Atma Nikshepa. Nikshepa is a deposit. Any accountants here today? Any accountants? If you're an accountant, you know the difference between a current account and a deposit account. Who knows the difference between a current account and a deposit account? Put your hand up. Okay. So in ancient Sanskrit, would you like to know how to open a deposit account? You go into the bank and you ask for Nikshepa Lekha. Nikshepa Lekha, a deposit account. So deposit means you deposit that money and then you kind of forget about it. You don't go to the bank the next day and say, you know that deposit account I opened yesterday, can I have the money back? So unfortunately for you, Mark, today is the day you open up a deposit account. And don't come to me tomorrow saying, I wish, I wish I hadn't done that. Our deposit is Atma Nikshepa. We're taking our Atma and making a Nikshepa, a deposit. We're saying to Krishna. You see, because what's going on here? One man is on a cushion, another man is on a straw mat, and one man is bowing down, another man is standing up, and someone's feet are, you know, this is just what you see. So what you see is just the representations, just the agency, it's just the mechanics. What's actually happening here is surrender to Krishna. That's all. It just so happens that I happen to be the fortunate person that told him 3 years ago, sitting on a plastic tarpaulin on the lawn at Bhaktivedanta Manor under that willow tree, all about surrendering to Krishna. So he's very grateful for that. But that just makes me a messenger. Guru means messenger, nothing more. Guru is not Krishna. Doesn't mean that the guru is anything special. Just a representative of a representative of a representative. So this should be understood. So today, you should understand that you're not surrendering to me as me, you're surrendering to me as representative of Krishna. But the prayers that you offer to Krishna will mark your surrender to Krishna. Krishna has spoken this verse. If you agree to Krishna's proposition in this verse, then we have some verses of surrender from Gajendra and others to recite. Finally, what will help us in this world is karpanya, or humility. So the guru is supposed to give what is known as pancha samskar. Pancha samskar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it, the five reformations. And 100, 200 years ago, the guru would give initiation by giving a mantra in the ear, but would not give any reformatory process. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, he said that giving a mantra without giving pancha samskar, he said it is like just walking up to someone and blowing in their ear. Why would you do that? Just whispering in their ear is a mantra, a dead mantra. So therefore, we have the tradition of in a very pronounced way, asking everybody what regulative principles they will follow. In other sampradayas, they may or may not do this, but we ask you to recite that. So pancha samskara means tapa, the disciplines, things that you do, things that you don't do. Pundra, tilak, your nama, a new name ending with das. A mantra, sounds of spiritual power, which you get at second initiation, and ija, techniques of worship also then. So if we do these activities of devotion, this is called as bhajana kriya. We've gone from sadhu sangha, and holding on to sadhu sangha, we take that into bhajana kriya. It's not that these nine stages of devotion, you give up one, and then you come to the next stage and you abandon the other. You take them all with you, like your luggage. You know? You should all take those. So really, there's only two principles of spiritual life. What are they? All others are servants of these. Huh? Yes. Padma Purana says, Smaratavya. Chant with me. Smaratavya. Satatam. Vishnur. Vishmar. Tavyo. Najatuchit. Sarve. Vidhi. Nishedha. Syur. Etayor. Eva. Kinkara. Means always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. That's it. End of speech. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. And yet, in order to do that, we have to remember how to do it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said that the emperor of all regulated principles is what? Chanting the holy name of Krishna. He said there are five most powerful activities. Out of those, hearing and chanting is the most important. And then that chanting the holy name of Krishna is the emperor. Others are the kings, princes, but chanting Hare Krishna is the emperor. So these are the 10 offenses. This is things to be observed while chanting. And because chanting is all of our life, these are things that if you do them at any stage, not simply while you're chanting, at any stage, this is not helpful. From the Padma Purana, Brahmakanda, chapter 25, verses 5 to 18. Satam ninda namna paramam pararam vitanute. Yatakyatim yatam katam usahate tadvigaraham. Which means to blaspheme other devotees, to bully other devotees, to post insulting comments on Facebook about devotees. We are in the 21st century. There are a lot of ways to do satam ninda. Don't do it. If you do it, it is said that your life, your spiritual life, will ebb away like the moon on the dark fortnight. Just inch by inch, crescent by crescent, the moon is sliced away. Always be respectful of devotees. Who is a devotee? It means a great devotee. It means a really great Mahatma, doesn't it? All other devotees you should feel free to insult. So sannyasis can insult everyone. Second initiated devotees can insult the first one. First initiated devotees can insult congregation and members. Is that what it means? No. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the late 1700s, he says, person who chants Hare Krishna once. He said, don't insult that person. He said, do not look and see who is a big devotee, who is a small devotee. He said, that is incorrect. He said, all devotees are devotees because if they surrender to Krishna, Krishna has accepted them as being very dear to him. If a devotee is very dear to Krishna, you got to be very brave to take that person on. If a person's dear to Krishna, and how do you know whether that devotee is dear to Krishna? You don't know. You don't know. You just don't know. There was a raggedy old man who came into Prabhupada's assembly, and Prabhupada, it was in Vrindavan, the room was filled with enthusiastic, energetic, passionate, young American disciples. They're all squeezing in. The idea was to get as physically close to Prabhupada as possible, and he might look at you. That was the game. And this elderly gentleman came in at the back, and his clothing was not indicative of a high social status. So he tried to get through to see Prabhupada. Of course, everybody else tried to get through to see Prabhupada too. There was a great crush. And Prabhupada caught sight of him. And with one wave, he just brushed aside his American disciples. And Prabhupada paid full dandavats to this devotee. And of course, immediately the devotees, they backed off. They said, whoa, something's happening here. Something that we don't understand. Prabhupada knows this person. We saw, but we didn't see. So always be very careful, because you see, but you don't see. You have to be very careful. Okay, is that all right? We know the story of Draupadi. Draupadi was cooking food. She'd cook many nice offerings. But she was feeding sadhus after the battle of Kurukshetra. And the sadhus came, and after the Rajasuya, excuse me. I'm looking at Govinda here. He's got his referee's whistle. after Rajasuya Yagya. And sometimes sadhus follow this rule. They take all the sweet and savory and sour and bitter preparations, and they mix them in a bowl together, and then they eat, so that they don't enjoy it. But for a woman, the whole point is, I've cooked, I've spent 6 hours in the kitchen. I want to see you enjoy. And the sadhus have come to my house. I want to see them enjoy. So there was a bell that was hanging, and there was a mystical arrangement whereby if the sadhus were pleased, the bell would ring. And if the sadhus were not pleased, the bell would stay motionless. So Draupadi, who was married to Yudhishthira and Arjuna, she'd cooked. She served, what did her food taste like? Krishna even gave her a cooking pot. Krishna himself gave her a cooking pot. The food was like nectar. So what this food was like? So she brought all the food out, mixed it, sadhus took, and she looked at the sadhus eating. The bell did not ring. And Yudhishthira came to her afterwards. He said, "The bell didn't ring, did it?" She said, "No." He said, "What went on?" She said, "In my mind, I was offensive." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I spent so long cooking, and the food was all mixed, and I just couldn't bear to see my cooking." He said, "Well, you know what to do, don't you?" So next time she cooked, she mixed, she served the sadhus, and the bells went. Yes, the bells rang. So our life should be one where the invisible bell of service to Vaishnavas is always ringing. Second offense is to think that the names of the demigods are equal. Srila Prabhupada has given us a tatparya. Tatparya means hierarchy. In the, what is it called? What's that book called? It's called the, what is it called? I had it here. It is called the Aitareya Brahmana. In the Aitareya Brahmana, there is a verse which says, Agni is the lowest, Vishnu is the highest, and all the other gods are in between. So it also means that we can sometimes put other things in the way of Krishna. Sometimes, believe it or not, aliens come in between me and Krishna. Oh my God, Deepak Vora. He's already going, oh my God, what's happening? Yes, aliens, conspiracy theories, flat earth, political intrigues, Brexit, crystals, Ayurveda, healing techniques, kung fu. I've seen devotees who haven't abandoned the path of Krishna, but sort of these things are taking priority in their life. They're all demigods. That's why Mark is a student of the Bible. You know the story, the difference between the God that Moses bowed down to, the burning bush, because the burning bush was a representative of God who spoke to him at that moment. And yet at the same time, when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, he saw that the others had melted their jewelry and made an idol. So he wasn't very happy. "This is not good," he said. "You've taken unto yourself false gods." Of course, that's another problem we have. But the worthship is an Anglo-Saxon word, worship. It means what I give worth to. So what's important in my life? The idea of number two is to give Krishna the most importance in your life. Number three, Guru Avagya. You know, I'll translate this for you, Mark, and I'll translate this for you, Jivan Mukta and Manjulali. Guru Avagya, it means all Vaishnavas are my guru. and particularly our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is not, Mark, that you can only hear about Krishna from me. You've heard about Krishna from many others. You will hear about Krishna from many others. Krishna is trying to speak to you through the mouths of all the Vaishnavas. And it may be that you find, it won't be difficult for you to find a devotee of Krishna who is more advanced than myself. It won't be difficult. I just happen to be the person sitting on the cushion today who is the closest to Kent. Just geographically proximus. But there will be many devotees from today in your life who give you Krishna's instructions in a very valuable way. So I ask that you treat all of them with the great respect. And if you have any doubts, then you come to me and I will help. Shruti Shastra Nindanam, to blaspheme Vedic literatures, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He also has a comment on this. He said, do not insult the four original Vedas simply because you do not find Krishna there. You understand? He said, do not insult other scriptures just because you do not find Krishna there. Prabhupada said, you give me the Bible, I will show you Krishna. So it is there. Give me the Torah, I'll definitely show you Krishna. Arthavada, to give some interpretation on the holy name of Krishna. Harinamni Kalpanam. Kalpana means fiction, a novel. If you go into an Indian bookstore and you say, Kalpana Kripa DJ, give me a novel. It's the best John Grisham novel. From the moment you open the front cover to the moment you turn the last page, it is fiction. It didn't happen. You see? And it just really propounds or compounds your understanding of this world. But if you think that the holy name of the Lord and the glories of the holy name are similarly fiction and not fact, then that is not helpful at all. So please make sure that you have the philosophy to understand that it's not hyperbole. If I was an archer yesterday, for those of us who like history, yesterday was the day when the British under Henry V, yay, let's have a cheer, yay, defeated the French, yay, at Agincourt, yay. We have to remember these things. So yesterday the British defeated the French at Agincourt. The archers, if they missed a target, they would use the word sin, I have sinned. So a sin means off the target. So the target is Krishna's feet, and we're doing everything to do that. So dharma vrata tyaga hutadi sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramadha. Don't think that chanting Hare Krishna is one of the Vedic ritualistic activities. We don't have this trouble with our devotees so much as we do with members of the Indian community who know about such things. But when our English devotees come to know all about fire sacrifices and really get to know a little bit about Vedic culture, then number 8 comes into play. So the more you know, the more difficult it will be to avoid number 8. So then it is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. What that basically means is don't give people too much too soon. Don't give people too much too soon. Upstairs there was a singer known as Donovan. Have anybody heard of him? Donovan. And Donovan came to, with his girlfriend. Prabhupada asked Shamsunda to preach to them. And Shamsunda was sort of downloading. He thought, well, Prabhupada has asked me to preach. I'm here in Prabhupada's presence. And he sort of downloaded. It's a new word. He wouldn't have used that word then. But he just told him basically everything. From, you know, four-faced Brahma to the moon to the, you know, to the gopis, to just like everything. And Prabhupada was just sitting looking at him. So then, anyway, there was another story, but Donovan and his girlfriend left. And Prabhupada just turned to him and he said, oh, he said, you've told him too much. He says, too much too soon. Not good preaching. You have committed the 9th offense against the holy name of Krishna. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, but preaching the holy name to others is the mission of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what does it mean, this 9th offense? It means always give appropriate teaching to the right person. Never too much. And not too much too soon. Remember, a spiritual baby needs to have a spoonful, and you have to allow them to digest before they move on. Finally, don't be inattentive, and don't remain attached. Is that all right? I've now done my duty reading to you the 10 offenses. So,